Today's shir is Masechta Baba Kama Daf Mem Nun Hey, and we will begin on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Shol Rav Chanina ben Ogil Es Rav Chi Bar Abba. Name Abba Dibris Hashoynes Loi Neva Ben Toiv. Why in the Dibris Hashoynes that we find in Parshas Yisroi does the Torah not use the word Toiv? Ube Dibris Hachroynes and the Dibris that we find in Parshas Voschanan Nembem Toiv, the Torah uses the words Toiv by the Sivui for Kibur of Aim. The Torah says Laman Yitavlach. Amalhem, Sir Chibur Abu responds, Acha Teshoalenu, Shaleni, Lamanembem Toiv. Before you ask me why the Torah says Toiv or doesn't say Toiv, Shaleni, ask me Imnembem Toiv Avaloi. Ask me if the Torah uses the word Toiv or not. She'eni yideya, for I am not really familiar im nem behem Toiv aloi, if the Torah uses the words Toiv or not. And obviously, the Mefarshim are greatly troubled with this Gemara. They say, is it possible to suggest that Rav Chiya bar Abba and Amoira did not know the words of the Aseres HaDibris, that the Gemara is saying that he says, I don't know if the word Torah uses the words Toiv or not. So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat that I saw is that we know Zoch v'shama b'diba echrod nemro. The Torah in Parshas Yisroi, when it speaks about Shabbos, says Zoch v'shem Shabbos l'katshay. The Aseres HaDibris in Parshas Veschanan says Shomer Shem Shabbos L'Katshoy, and the question, and the Gemara says we're well familiar with the statement Zocho V'Shomer B'Diba Echad Nemru. Zocho V'Shem was said at the exact same time. It's a concept that we can't even understand how two words can be said exactly at the exact same time, how human beings could hear two words that were said at the exact same time. But that's what the Gemara says is what happened. Which opens up a question, how do we look at the Aseres HaDibris, the ones in Parshas Yisroi and in Parshas Veschanan? Do we look at these two Aseres HaDibris that they were said exactly at the exact same time? And therefore, what he was saying was, if these two Aseres HaDibris were really said at the exact same time, then we really don't have here a situation that there's one was said this way and one was said that way, because they were really both said the same way because they were said at the exact same time. Or do we look at the Aseres HaDibris? Do we look at the Aseres HaDibris as really two separate statements that happened in two different times? And therefore the Gemara's question is a very understandable question. Why does it say Toiv in Parshas Veschanan and not in Parshas Yisroi? And that is what Rav Chiya bar Abba meant to say with his response. Another pshat that I saw, that if we count the differences, the different amount of letters that there are in the Aseres HaDibris in Parshas Yisroi versus the ones in Parshas Veschanan, we'll find that there's a difference of 17 letters. 17 is the Gematria Toiv. And what he was saying to him was, I don't know why we have this difference of 17 letters, of having 17 more letters in the Aseres HaDibris in Veschanan over Yisroi. The Torah Tamima says, what the Gemara's question really meant to be, is that the Medrash says that after HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe the Aseres, the Luchas Achronis from Parshas Veschanan, Moshe Rabbeinu was so happy, and he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Toivli Tairas Picha Me'alfei Zohar V'Chesef. And the question that the Gemara is posing is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu have this reaction specifically in Parshas Veschanan over Parshas Yisrael? So he said, so he suggested they should go ask Rav Tanchum ben Chaloy. Shai Ragal Etzer Bishum and Levi, who learned by Bishum and Levi, Shai Baki Bagoda, who was a great expert in Agadata. And it's interesting to point out that the Anaf Yosef says that the Yerushalmi actually says that he wasn't an expert in Agadata. And yet Al Gemara is claiming that he was. Says the Anaf Yosef that originally, and he says this is the order one should follow in his own learning. Originally, Rev Yeshua ben Levi first learned Shas and Paiskim. After he completed learning Shas and Paiskim, did he become an expert in Agadata, and that's what the Gemara is referring to here. Ozla Gabay, so he came to him. Amalei, Mimenu la Shemati, I did not hear from Yeshua ben Levi any answer to this question. Al kacham li shmu ba nochem achi imoy shlob achab Reb Chanina. Vamrilei avi imoy shlob achab Reb Chanina. Hoyel v'soifim l'shtaber. Since the luchas were ultimately going to be broken, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu did not put in the word toif. Ask the Gemara v'chi soifim l'shtaber ma'havit. So why is the fact that ultimately these luchas were going to be broken a reason that it should or should not have the word toiv in it? Amr of Ashi, Chas v'sham poskei toiv l'Yisrael. Because if it would have the word toiv, and then the luchas would be broken, it would represent that good has left Klal Yisrael. And that's something, obviously, that the Torah did not want should be said. And because that, the Torah avoids using the word toiv. And as the Maral explains, as is his derech to explain. The Maral says that the word toif represents good. It represents a perfect fit. The Torah that was, the luchas that were given, the luchas harishonis, were luchas that were given to people who were like malachim, people who were perfect. And actually, people are not perfect. And that's why, indeed, Klal Yisrael ultimately cannot hold on to the Luchas HaRishonis. And because they couldn't hold on to the Luchas HaRishonis, the Torah doesn't use the word Toiv in the Luchas HaRishonis. Only in the Luchas Shnius, which represent Luchas that are given to mortals, Luchas that are given to regular human beings, is it appropriate to use the word Toiv. The Chasam Sofer goes a step further. The Chasam Sofer says that the Torah uses the words when regarding HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving the luchas to Klal Yisrael, Asher nishbata lahem boch. Boch, says the Chasam Sofer, is begematria chof beis, 22. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said was saying was that he was swearing by the giving of the luch of the 22 letters or which the Torah are written, the 22 letters of the Alabes, Asher Nishbata Lahem Boch, HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore with those letters about the bris, about the connection that is created between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, we know that Klal Yisrael ultimately was not able to fulfill and maintain the Luchas Rishonis, as we just said. And had there been a Shvuah with these 22 letters of the Alfbeis, it would have eternally broken our bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically left out the letter, one letter from the Luchos, the letter Tess, as we're saying. And because he left out the letter Tess, it wasn't Asher Nishbat Lambach. There really wasn't a full-fledged Shvuah. And therefore, Klal Yisrael was able to come back to its special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Chasam Sofer, that's pshat what the pasuk says, Ach Toiv LiYisrael. Ach is 21. Chaf Aleph is 21. Ach Toiv LiYisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did Klal Yisrael a big toiva. Ach. The fact that he only wrote the Luchos with 21 of the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis was Toiv Yisrael, turned out to be a tremendous Toiv for Klal Yisrael, because therefore the Shvuah did not take place, and we were able to sustain our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara, asked the Mefarshim, if so, the Luchas Rishonis do have the words Leman Yarichin Yomecha, and we're saying that we want to avoid such good things from the Luchas Rishonis, as the Gemara says, because those Luchas were broken. So I saw two answers. One answer is Leman Yarichin Yomecha doesn't mean necessarily Arichas Yomim. Leman Yarichin Yomecha means Al Adoma, that we would remain in Eretz Yisrael. And indeed, Klal Yisrael did not remain in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, that it is correct that Leman Yarichin Yomecha did not remain. Another pshat that the Chasam Sofer suggests is Leman Yarichin Yomecha means indeed Tarichas Yomim Olam Hazeh. He says, but the real schar, the real reward that we receive, is not an Olam Hazeh, it's an Olam Haba. And therefore, losing Olam Hazeh is not considered such a significant punishment. Amar Shuban Levi, Haroi Tes Bechaloimai, Simen Yafaloi. Since we see, in the story of Mepharshim, introduced this Gemara, since we just learned the significance of the letter Tes, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu left out the letter Tes from the Luchos, it's obvious that the letter Tes represents something very excellent, and that's what the Gemara will dwell on. That the letter Aroya Tes Bechaloimai, if somebody sees a Tes in his Cholam, Simen Yafaloi. Ask the Rishonim, perhaps the reason the letter Tes is omitted from the Luchos is because we just said the letter Tes is from Toiv, and the word Toiv is inappropriate to be put into the Luchos Rishonis. So Mepharshim say that in the Luchos Shniyos we find the letter Tes not only in the words, in the word Leman Yitavlach, we also find it in the word Zroya Netuya. So it was also not, the word Zroya Netuya was also not put into the Luchos Rishonis, because the letter Tes represents something special. And therefore, says the Gemara, if somebody sees the letter Tes in a dream, Simen Yafuloi. My Tama, what makes the letter Tes so special? Asked the Gemara. Ilay Mishum Deksiv Taiv, because the letter Tes represents the word Taiv. Ema, so asked the Gemara, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, V'tatiya, V'tatasiya, V'tatei Hashmeid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sweep us with a broom of destruction. So it certainly doesn't represent something good. So the Gemara, Chates Kamina. When you see the letter Tes once, in those words we find the letter Tes numerous times. Ema, Tumaseh B'Shulel. The pasuk speaks about the Klai Yisrael, Pasuk Anecha, a Tumma. So you see that one time the letter Tes also doesn't necessarily represent something good. Answers the Gemara, Tes Beis Kamin. What we mean is that wherever you find the word Tes and Veis together, that's an excellent sign. Ask the Gemara, that's not necessarily true. Ema Tava Ba'aret Shareha, where the pasuk says that the gates of the Beis HaMikdash sunk into the ground, and we have a Tes Beis there. How says the Gemara, the first time we find this combination of letters of Tes Beis, it has a good, it means something good. Shema Bereishis. If we look at the beginning of the Torah, from the word Bereishis, Ad V'yal Kimas Or Ki Toiv, like Sif Tes, the Torah doesn't use the word Tes. The first time the Torah uses the first letter Tes, it's used in the connection with the word Taif, so we see that the letter Tes represents something good. And in fact, Rav Tzadik says, from here we see that the essence of any object could be analyzed from the first time the Torah mentions it. Vam Rabbi Shu ben Levi, Haroya Hesped b'chaloymei. If somebody sees the word Hesped in a dream, Chosolov minashmayim pedua, it represents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they had rachmanas on him and they redeemed him from his trouble. V'hani mili, however, it's b'ksava. If he sees the letter ches, the word hesped written, then it represents chospod. As the Mepharshim, the Taras Chaim, and the Mashah explained the Gemara, if one were chas v'sham to see a hesped, an actual hesped taking place, if he would have such a dream, it would actually have a very bad representation, that they're showing him a hesped. Here, they didn't show him an actual eulogy taking place. What he saw was a hesped, he saw the word hesped. And it's even more than that. He saw the word hesped, but it really means chesped with a ches. And all it comes to represent is that they're sending him a message from Shemayim that perhaps something bad should have happened to him, but chospod, they had rachmonis on him. The letter hey was switched for the letter ches, and they had rachmonis on him from Shemayim that he should not have something bad happen to him. We learned in the Mishnah kechai v'oif kiyotz behem that there's klayim by animals, by chayis, by oifis. Says the Gemara Amar Shlokish, Kanshan a Rebbe. Rebbe's teaching us here, Tanagoyal, a chicken, Tavis is a peacock, Upisyoni and a partridge, Klaim Zabza are all climb with each other. Ask the Gemara Peshitta. Obviously, didn't we learn in our Mishnah that different types of animals, that there's climb by birds? Answers the Gemara Amar of Chaviva, Mishum, the Rava Bahade Adodi. Since these birds live together, so we should perhaps say that they're all considered one min, and that there is no issue of klayim. That's why the Mishnah has to teach us that there is they are not considered one and the same, and that there is actually klayim. So there's a machlokes rishonim, two interesting machlokes rishonim. One machlokes rishonim is, what does it mean that they live together? Some say it means that they actually, these birds live together. Another pshat that I saw is not only do they live together, but the way these birds are, that they actually raise each other's children. And since they have this close relationship, we would perhaps believe that they are considered one and the same. That's why the Gemara has to teach us that they're not. Another machloikis that I saw, machloikis Tosfos and Rosh, is how to understand this Gemara. Taisa says that this din is independent of the halacha that we learned in the Mishnah. It's just the Gemara is teaching us a new halacha that there's klayim with these different types of birds. However, the Rosh says that the way to understand the Gemara is that the Gemara is actually coming to explain what we learned in the Gemara, what we learned in the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is referring even to these types of birds. Says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Avaz v'avaz habor, a domestic goose and a wild goose, a climb zebzer, a climb with each other. And here we have a very interesting Tzemach Tzedek. The Tzemach Tzedek in the Shalos Tshuva says, what the Gemara is saying is that the Rambam says that the only time we have klayim is when we have a tamei bird, a kosher bird, and a non-kosher bird mixed together. And what the Gemara is teaching us is that avaz habar, the wild goose, is a kosher bird, because if the avaz habar were a non-kosher bird, then obviously it's klayim with the regular avaz. So from here that the Gemara had to tell us that they klayim, it must be that it's a kosher bird. But then the Tzemach Tzedek himself in the Kuntres Achron retracts. And he says that as we have been learning, there are really two types of klayim. There are two situations of klayim. One situation of klayim is when you breed two different animals together. And one situation of klayim is when you work with two different types of animals together. Says the Tzemach Tzedek in the Kuntres Achron, the Rambam who says that klayim is when it's kosher and non-kosher is talking regarding work. However, regarding breeding, that's not the way the Rambam makes his comments, and therefore proof cannot be brought from our Gemara regarding the kashrus of Avaz Habar. The Chasam Sofer has another way of looking at the Gemara. The Chasam Sofer says that we know that when it comes to animals, the Torah is very specific in what it is simonim of a kosher animal. That it chews its cud and it has split hooves. Regarding birds, however, we don't really have clear understanding of what are the simonim of a kosher bird. And therefore, the only birds we eat are birds for which we have a mesorah, that we're allowed to eat those birds. And what the Gemara is coming to say is that the Avaz and the Avaz Habor are not the exact same bird, and even though therefore we have a Mesoira for the Avaz, for the goose, and we eat goose, we cannot eat the Avaz Habor, because as the Gemara is explaining, these are not two the same bird, and the Mesoira for goose cannot work for Avaz Habor. Maskala, Rabbi Barav Chonan, ask Rabbi Machonan, my Tama, why do we consider these two birds as two different species? Ilam Mishum the high Orech Kurei, the high Zuta Kurei, is it because one has a long beak and one has a short beak? Elamata, Gamla Parsa, the Gamla Taya, the Persian camels and the Arabian camels. The high Olam Kurei, the high Kutan Kurei, one has a thick neck and one has a thin neck. Hokinami Dav Klaim Zabze, would you suggest that they also are considered Klaim? El Amar Baya, Zeh Beitz Ovin Bechutz, one has its testicles externally, Zeh Beitz Ovin Bifnim, and one has it internally. Rapop Amar, Hatun Echad Beitz Ovin Bechutz, one, the wild goose, bears one egg at a time, V'haytuna, Kavim Beitz Ovin Bechutz, the domestic one, can have more than one egg at a time. As the Rishonim explained, what the Gemara means to say is, the Gemara wants to show a physical difference both in the male and female versions of the goose and wild goose. There's an interesting tshuva from Rav Moshe based on this Gemara. One of the types of lulavim is a lulav that's known as the Dekel HaKanari. It's called the Dekel HaKanari because its origin is from the Canary Islands. And the question that comes up is that lulav kosher for the Dalad Minim? Says Rav Moshe that since the Dekel HaKanari has physical properties that are different from the regular lulav, it has a different taste, it's much more bitter, so our Gemara is teaching us that when they have different physical properties, they're not considered the same. That's why Rav Moshe says one cannot use a Dekel HaKanari for the mitzvah of Dalad Minim. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yirmiyahu, Amar Reish Lakish, Hamabiyah Shnei Minim Shaviyam, if somebody mates together two different creatures in the Yam, likely he gets Malkus. Tosfos says that the Gemara here is not referring to fish, the Gemara here is referring to different aquatic creatures. My Tama, Amar of Adabra Hav Mishmei de Ula, Asyla Minei Laminei Miyabosha, we learn Exer Shava from the word Laminehu, which the Torah uses by regular animals to teach us that the same applies to creatures from the Yam. Boy Rachva, Hamanik V'Iza V'Shibuta, if somebody leads a wagon with a goat and a Shibuta, Shibuta is a type of a fish, Mahu, is it considered climb or not? And I saw two different explanations in the Gemara's question. The domestic Eliezer explains that the Gemara's question is as follows. He says that the Rambam says that the only time we have climb is by a min tome. Eis, a goat, and shibuta are both kosher. And what the Gemara's question he therefore says is, really we don't have climb in such a situation, because we're dealing with two kosher species. Midrabonon, however, there is klayim, even by kosher species. And what the Gemara's question is that the Rabbonon make a gzeira in this situation, where besides the fact that we're not dealing with non-kosher species, we're also dealing with a situation that the goat is on the yam, is on the yabosha, is on dry land, and the shibuta is in the yam. And the way that the scenario that the Gemara is referring to is a scenario that the person is having these two creatures pull his wagon, where the shibut is be along the border between the beach and the yam, and that's how the wagon is being drawn. Rav Moshe and the Dibris Moshe has a different way of explaining the Gemara's question. He says what the Gemara is asking is, what is the essence of klayim? Is the Isser of klayim that we're not allowed to take two different minim and put them together, and therefore the Eiz and Shibuta are certainly two different minim, and we have here an Isser klayim, or is the Issachlaim. They were not allowed to create a new unit of two different species. And here, since these two different animals will not be ever really together, as we just explained, one will be on the Yam, in the Yam, and one will be on the Yabasha, it's not considered that we're creating a new unit, and we won't have an Issachlaim. Mi Amrinin, says the Gemara, Kim the Izaloi Nachs B'Yam, the goat doesn't go into the Yam. V'shibuta Loi Salak L'Yabasha, and the Shibuta doesn't go onto dry land. So Lav Klum of it, it's not considered that he did anything Asur. Aydel Mahash, the Mi'a Kamanik, he's leading his wagon with these two different types of species. Maskla Ravina, ask Ravina, Elam Ata. Imchiba chita sarbiyadi. If somebody takes a wheat grain and a barley grain, Vizar chita ba'aretz, Vizar b'chutzlaretz. And he planted the wheat in Eretz Yisrael and the sar in chutzlaretz. Hachanam de mechayiv, would you say he's chayiv? We know, of course, he's not chayiv, because the din of planting together only applies in Eretz Yisrael, because it's a mitzah tluya ba'aretz, which is totally in the ground, and we know that all mitzvahs are tluyos ba'aretz only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Amri, says the Gemara, Hachi Hashta, we can't compare the two situations. Hasam, Eretz Makam Chiyuva, there's a chiyuv of climbing Eretz Yisrael. Chutz La'aretz, Lord Makam Chiyuva, there is no such Isser Chutz La'aretz. And therefore, obviously, something that happens in Eretz Yisrael and something that happens in Chutz La'aretz cannot be combined. However, Hacha V'idi Chiyuvahu, both in the Yam, as we learned a moment ago, and in the Yabasha, there is this Issachlaim, and therefore the Gemara's question is, is there an Issachlaim where we can combine these two situations? Harun Lachshar Shanagach Sapara, Harun Lachshar Shanagach Sapara, Harun Lachshar Shanagach Sapara. Says the Mishnah, Hakainis Tzerim Ludir, if somebody brings sheep into an enclosed area, and as Taisus teaches us, really, this Mishnah should have been mentioned earlier when we're speaking about other situations of animals doing damage. It was waited. What happened was we spoke about the halacha of bar because the Gemara had mentioned bar regarding something being regarding an animal falling into a bar and ruining the bar. So we started speaking about a bar. And therefore, Taisa says, we should have actually now spoken about Eish. But since we spoke, when we were learning the halakha of Bar, about Kiso Kuroi, if something is properly or not improperly watched, so our Mishnah begins now to discuss the halakhas of what is considered proper watching. The Miri goes on to explain that what they used to do was, they used to bring their animals and make an enclosure around the area where the animals were, so the animals would be locked into this space so that they could expel dung from their body, which would be used as a fertilizer, and then they would move the animals on. So says the Mishnah, Koinus Tzoin L'Dir, if somebody brings the tzoin into this deer, V'nob V'nek Roy, and properly locked the gate, V'yotz V'zik, and the animal escaped in the damage, Potter. However, Loi Nol B'Fanav Karoi, if he did not properly close the gate, V'yotz V'zikin went out under damage, Chayif is Chayif. And as the Rishonim point out, if the Mishnah says that if you closed it properly, you're Potter, it's obvious that if you didn't close it, you're Chayif. Why does the Mishnah have to say both sides of the equation? So the Rishonim point out that what the Mishnah is trying to prove, as we will discuss soon in the Gemara, is that Nol b'fanel means that you made a shmir p'chusa, you made a minimal shmira. Because the Mishnah is saying is loy nol b'fanel k'roi. If you didn't make the shmir p'chusa, that's when you chayiv. But as long as you made any minimal shmira, you're going to be potter. Nifetz b'layla, however, if this wall was breached at night, oysha p'tzu listim, or robbers breached it, v'yotz v'zika, and it went out into damage, potter. Then he will be potter. If robbers took it out, then the listim chayovim. And as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem and the Gemara, the halach is with the listim, is that once the listim take it, it's considered as if it's their damage. It's as if it's theirs, and therefore they are responsible. Taisus and the Rishayim and the Achrayim discuss the halachas and the differences between what happens by day and by night if the animals go out. And they make a number of points. One is that if the animals left this enclosure by day, there's a difference if it was breached or if the door was opened. If it was breached by day, that's something that's unusual, and that's something that the owner would have become aware of, and therefore he's going to know and he'll be responsible. But if it was just, if the door was opened, that's something that's normal. And if I walk by and I see the door open, it would not be a situation that I would find abnormal, that I would go and tell the owner that something is going on here. And therefore, even by day, if the door is opened, not a breach in the wall, the owner is not necessarily going to be aware of what happened here. Furthermore, if it happened by night, so the Rishonim point out, number one, since it happened by night, it's less likely that the owner is aware of what happened. And furthermore, says Tosfos, even if he does become aware, he cannot really be held responsible. Because since it's at night, and the animals are running around, and it's dark, there's really no way for the owner to find those animals in the dark, and therefore, even if he becomes aware, he will not be chayiv. However, I saw a very interesting shaila from Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. If we're now making a distinction between what happens by day or by night, so he discusses what would be the halacha happens. Somebody has an alarm, let's say by his store or by his business, and he receives notification by night that his alarm is going off and he can't shut it remotely. Is he obligated to go to his store, to his business, to close the alarm in the middle of the night? It's difficult when he knows nothing really happened. So Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein says, of course he's obligated. And it's not like the case that where he doesn't have to go run after the animals. And he gives a number of reasons. Firstly, he says, in halacha, there are two concepts. There's a concept of hilchus nezikin, and there's a halacha of hilchus shcheinim. We in our Mishnah, in our sugyas, are learning Hilchus Nezikin. And Tosfos, the Rishonim are teaching us, as far as Hilchus Nezikin are concerned, if the animals are running around at night, he's not obligated to go run after them. That has nothing to do with Hilchus Shcheinim, that your alarm is going off, you have to close your alarm, it's disturbing your neighbors. Another difference is, as Tosfos said, if your animals are running in the dark at night, it's unlikely that you're going to find those animals anyway. So you're not obligated to go run after those animals. On the other hand, when it comes to the alarm, certainly if you'll go to your place of business and close the alarm will be shut. Another point he makes is as follows. When someone has an alarm and he puts it on before he leaves his place of work, what he's undertaking is that if the alarm will go off, he will come back to close that alarm. That's the responsibility you accept when you set your alarm, and therefore if it goes off, you're obligated to come back to close it. Continues the Mishnah. Hanicha b'chama, if he left the sheep out in the sun, or he gave it over, the sheep to chereshoy to a cotton, for yotzev azika, and they went out in the damage, chayiv, then he is chayiv. Machloikus rishonim, Rambam and Ravid. What will be if he indeed gave over his animal to a chereshoy to the cotton? However, before he gave it over, he tied up the animal properly. Will he still be chayiv or not? The Rambam says that he will be chayiv. The Ravid says that he will not be chayiv. Continues the Mishnah. Masul Araya, if he gave over the animal to a shepherd, so the halacha is nichnas haroya tachtav. The roya now assumes responsibility in the place of the owner of the animal. But it's very interesting chazonish. The chazonish says that let's say somebody gave over an animal to a roya, to a shomer, who is a bardas, is an intelligent adult, mature adult. But he knows that this shomer doesn't have the financial means to pay if something is going to happen. Says the Chazon Ish, then in such a situation, he will not be held, the owner remains responsible. Because by choosing a roya who you know doesn't have the financial means to pay for any damages, you have retained that responsibility. Nafal Ginev Nenes, if the animal fell accidentally into someone else's garden and it had hano, Mishalemis Mashanenis. And there are two pshatim in Mashalemis Mashanenis. One is that it ate from those fruits or from those vegetables. And now, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, the owner won't have to serve a meal to his animal. So he has to pay that benefit that he doesn't have to serve his animal a meal. Another pshat is that by falling onto these vegetables, his fall was cushioned and he didn't break any bones. And he has benefit from that, that the animals didn't get injured. And that amount of money that he would pay for produce to cushion his animal's fall and save it from injury is what he has to pay. However, your dakadaka vizika, if the animal went in a normal way, in its usual way, in the damage, the halach is, mishlamas mishlazika, it has to pay for the damage it did. So as we've learned earlier, how do we evaluate damages? Kates and Mishalemis Mashazika, says the Mishnah, Shaman Bay saw Baisa saw the Kama Isa Yafa, the Kami Yafa. We don't, according to the Tanakama, evaluate the value of these fruits and vegetables. Rather, we look as a field, which is a base saw, 50 by 50 Amma. How much is the field worth with those fruits or vegetables in it? And how much is it worth minus those fruits and vegetables, which is obviously not a very significant amount. Rav Shimon, however, disagrees. Rav Shimon says, Rav Shimon Oimer, Achla Peres Gemurim, Mishalemes Peres Gemurim, Im Sosayim, we look at the amount of fruit or vegetables and ate, and how much, whatever that they're worth, that's how much he has to pay. Tana Abonim. The Mishnah began speaking about Roy and Shloik Roy. What is called a proper watching and what is called improper watching or not adequate, says the Braisa. If could stand withstand the Ruach Metzuya, and as the Yamsha Shlomo says, it doesn't necessarily mean only Ruach Metzuya. In any situation, it means that it can withstand a normal situation. That is considered Roy. Sheeni yochai lam beruch metzuya, that is considered shaloi karoi. Amr Ramani bapatish man tana muad the sagle b'shmir pechusa. Our Mishnah is talking about a situation of shein v'regel. Even though, as we've been learning in our Masechta, there's a difference between tam and muad. The difference between tam and muad is by the mazik of keren. By shein v'regel, when there is an obligation for shein v'regel are mu'adin mitchilosan, are mu'ud from even the first time. So here we're speaking about a situation of mu'ud, and our Mishnah is teaching us that a minimal shmira is adequate. So who is the Tana? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehudahi. It seems that it follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanan, as we learned earlier, kasha ba'al b'maseira, if the owner tied the axe with a proper rope, or v'nafel in front of Karoi, or close the door properly in front of it. V'yotz v'hizik, echad tam v'echad mu'ud chayiv. He only did a shmir p'chusa, and according to Rameya, that's not good enough. Rabbi Yehudaimer, tam chayiv, mu'ud potter. A mu'ud, a shmir p'chusa is enough, not for a tam. Shnem v'lo yishmer n'balash. V'shamu huzeh, a minimal shmir is enough for a mu'ud. And as we quoted the Meiri, why is Rabbi Yehuda more lenient by a mu'ud than he is by a tam? Because once an animal is a mu'ud, people are aware to watch out from it, and therefore shmir p'chusa is enough. Rabbi Lezer Oimer, ein lo shmir alasakin. There is no way of really watching a mu'ud properly. So our Mishnah, that's teaching us that a shmir p'chusa is adequate, seems to be following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, afilo tem Rameya. We could say that our Mishnah even follows the opinion of Rameya. Shani shem v'rego, because Ramey will agree, as far as Shein V'Regel are concerned, that Torah mi'ata b'shmirasun, the Torah specifically reduced the amount of shmira that are required. Dom Rebbe Loza, Ramele b'masnisa tana, The four types of mazikim that the Torah teaches us a reduced shmirah is adequate. Ve'elein bar ve'esh shem v'regel. And the Gemara explains each one. Bar, the ksiv, ki yiftach ishbar or ki yichir ishbar v'leich sana. If a person up uncovers a pit or digs a pit and doesn't cover it, ha'kiso, any type of covering, potter is enough. Any type of covering we see is enough. And Rashi explains, because the fact that the Torah says that you could cover it and you don't have to refill the bar, that is a proof that any covering, that even a minimal shmira, is enough. Ask Tosfos, who says that covering is a minimal shmira? Maybe covering is considered a shmir mula if you put on a good lid. So Tosfos says that of course a strong lid, a strong cover on a bar is considered a shmir mula. But the Torah doesn't require that you should fill up the bar, nor does the Torah require that you should cover it with a strong cover. The Torah, by telling us that you don't have to fill it, is also telling us that any cover is sufficient. Another teretz, Tosfos says, is the Torah says that if you open the bar, you have to close it. Now, when you open the bar, it's very possible that the bar only had a minimal cover. And yet the Torah says that all you have to do is just cover it, even though it only involves a minimal covering. Eish, how do we know that regarding Eish, a minimal shmir is enough? Diksiv, Shalom Yishalom Hamavis Abeira. Add Ovid Kaman Bavir. He's only chayiv if he act kmavir, as if he's actually negligent and he took the fire and burned something with it. Anything else is not considered Eish. Shane, the Ksiv, the Torah when teaches us the mazik of Eish, says, Ubier b'stei acher. Add the Ovid ke'en beer. You have to actually do ke'en beer. Anything else is not considered Beir. Regal the Ksiv v'shilach, add the Ovid ke'en v'shilach, that you actually take the animal. Anything else is considered an adequate shmir. V'tanya, and as we quoted earlier in the Masechta, v'shilach zay regal. Shilach refers to the mazik of regal, v'kenu oimer, v'shalchi regal, hashar v'chamor, ubir z'ashen, v'kenu oimer, v'kashi var hagolol, atumai means the tooth, and we know the tooth means shame, because you eat with the tooth, or as we said, by eating golol, waste is produced. Says the Gemara, tama, do'ovi kein v'shilach ubir, only when you did something like shilach ubir, if you haven't done that, loy, you're not chayiv. It's considered that you did an adequate shmira. Amar Rabba says Rabba Masnisin Deika. Really, if we learn our Mishnah, we could see that for shame for regal, a shmir pchus is adequate. The Ktani Tsoin. Our Mishnah speaks about tsoin. Ask the Gemara. Michti. Until this point in our Masechta, whenever we spoke about an animal doing damage, the animal we referred to was a shor. So here too, nisni shor, shouldn't the Mishnah have spoken about a shor? Why does the Mishnah all of a sudden start speaking about a tzoyin? My shtodik tani tzoyin. La mishum, the Torah, miyat v'shmiratzon. The Mishnah wants to teach us a special din. The Mishnah wants to teach us a din that a reduced shmira is enough. There is no Karen by Tsoin. Tsoin doesn't do that type of damage. Shame v'regel, the only type of damage that's done by Tsoin are shame v'regel. And the Mishnah is teaching us, Kamashma on the shame v'regel, the Mo'adenhu, the regarding shame v'regel, when they are moved. That means regarding shame v'regel, a shmira ma'uta, a minimal shmira is adequate. Shmaminov from this, in fact, we see it. It's a very interesting point that the Pnei Yeshua makes. He says that shouldn't the Gemara have used the words Kol anezokin miato atar b'shmirasa chutz mikaren, instead of listing all the different types of mazikin where a minimal shmir is enough? The Gemara could have used a different word. Everywhere minimal shmir is enough. Chutz, there's only one exception, at least according to Rameya, keren. Why doesn't the Gemara use that type of language? Says the Pnei Yeshua. and we who have been learning Masecht Bava Kama for so many dafim already could appreciate it. As we learn Masecht Bava Kama, we become aware of many different type of mazikin, besides the four mazikin that were identified in the first mishnah of our Masechta. And if we would have said kala mazikin, there are so many mazikin that we wouldn't know which category to put them into, because there are really many more than just the four that the Gemara mentions. That's why the Gemara, when it wants to teach us where specifically a shmira mu'ut is enough, specifies exactly the mazikin, because we know there are many more mazikin.